Hi there, I'm Barry Forward, and welcome to the Reboot Forward podcast. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into the wonderful world of change, reinvention, transformation, and just plain doing something different. In particular, how it impacts the people who go through that change, what they've learned from their journey through change, and ultimately, what has allowed them to reboot forward. My guest today on the podcast is Nicole Dunbar. Nicole is a certified life coach, a career and business coach, and the founder of Congruency International. Nicole provides professional branding, career transition, and business development guidance to entrepreneurs and career professionals across North America. She has served over 900 private clients across diverse industries and job functions, and trains thousands of candidates in career transition each year on topics such as resume development, over 50 job search tips, personal branding, LinkedIn, and much, much more. Nicole has also held management roles in corporate and nonprofit organizations across multiple industries, including marketing, operations, and administrative management, and HR recruiting. So let's dive right in and listen in on our conversation with Nicole Dunbar. Let's just start right in, okay? And this little podcast of mine is about change. There's been massive change going on right now. What does change mean to you? What does it represent to you, Nicole Dunbar, in 2020?
Yeah, I love this question because, you know, for me, change, the word itself, is neutral. Change is about being put in a position of having to prepare for something that you weren't originally landing on, right? That's what, in my opinion, change is. Now, sometimes we can see change coming, but at the end of the day, the path we were going on, something has shifted and caused us to have to do something else, to pivot, if you will, to something different.
So here we had in 2020, we had one of those things, a black swan event came along and hit us. We weren't ready for it. How do you see that working into the work you're doing in, I'll call it this transition outplacement market?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it really, for me, it's not so much what we would call traditional outplacement. I really am doing individual career coaching and folks that are in transition, but what has shifted, a couple of things in career change, career transition overall, from what I'm seeing from my side of the screen here, a couple of things. Number one, there certainly, of course, the overt things. People have been laid off. We've went from, certainly in the U.S., a 3% unemployment to as high as 14% in U.S. And of course, we've seen the numbers globally trickle up as well. However, at the exact same time, we've seen a lot of people still landing jobs. Particularly certain sectors and industries are in growth and are moving forward. So what has happened, there's been a lot of churn, I will say, in the hiring market right now. Companies turning over people, companies looking to fill new positions and the like. I think that's the obvious thing. But things that are less obvious, there has been a level of compassion in career transition that I have personally seen. I do a lot of social listening on my social channels, particularly LinkedIn. I'm there probably way too much. But I will tell you that one of the things that I have really enjoyed, and I have seen how just the pain of COVID-19 and the shock that really hit all of us, certainly here in the Western world, and prior to that in other countries around our planet, but certainly that like February, March really was the that kind of tipping point for us here in North America, I believe. And seeing how we actually stayed home for weeks on end, really to take care of each other. It's not necessarily because I personally was going to get sick, but it was because, you know what, my neighbor has a 25-year-old daughter with lupus, and or, you know, your aunt who is 78, who has multiple, you know, medical background, things happening in her background. Like there was a for the first time, I think maybe in the history of forever, we actually acted like we were each other's brother's keeper. And that sentiment trickled into business, the way businesses were marketing, and it also trickled into the way businesses did not change their tone in their marketing. And you would see the incredible backlash on companies that were, a phrase that is very popular now, tone deaf. And so those things that were happening, and it trickles down into the job search, because what we also started to realize was that this kind of extended closing of our economies, the quarantine, we knew that was going to trickle down to potential job disruption, job loss, and certainly certain industries have seen that. And already prior to that, I just saw people rallying around each other to prepare for what was going to be coming and the layoffs. And so I'm seeing just this kind of, this incredible sharing that's happening of people that are in jobs that are posting open jobs that they found, because guess what? They remember what it was like in 2009, and certainly here in the US, when they lost their job and they're out of work for months. So I'm seeing that people that are fully employed are engaged. I'm seeing people that are not employed and are looking for jobs are also posting jobs for people in their network. It's incredible. I've never seen anything like this before. And I think it's quite beautiful.
I call it the referral market, right? We've turned into a referral market, which it was already, but this has kind of amplified it. And I think it's really interesting to see, because people are, looking, there's a lot of people looking, a lot more people looking, but there's a lot more people helping.
Yes. And yes, I agree with you. The referral market has always been there. However, it seems to gone from, and I'm not saying it's not still happening underground, but it has risen to the surface a lot more in terms of people publicly sharing things. And, I'm one of those people. I regularly will just comment and or share. I started a periodic during the week post on LinkedIn called "This is Somebody's Dream Job." And I just quickly, if I see a really cool job post, or something that I don't know who in my network is looking for something. I know that there are people in my network that are. But one of the things that I think we're also realizing is the power of social media to amplify your challenge, your successes, as well as opportunities. And I think more people are tapping into that than ever before.
One of the things prior to COVID, but maybe it's just my view of it. We used to look at someone, and people were nervous the fact that they were looking. They were looking. Yeah. I don't want to tell anybody that I'm open for jobs now. Looking, and somehow that was less value. I'm seeing that change. Is that it's okay to be a free agent right now?
Interestingly enough, I kind of think about it like, when we were maybe in the beginning of the 2000s, when we had the dot-com era boom and bust, right? And even to a certain extent, the 2008, 2009 economic downturn, when we had so many people, certainly in the US, and I know it trickled, as I said, across the planet, that were out of work for months on end. And there's enough people, I think, today that remember that. And remember either and I know I was one of those people. I was in transition. I launched my very first business at the end of 2008. And that was not the time that put hair on your chest if you didn't have any there before to do something then. But I think the way that has just kind of evolved to where we are today is that there's a point where if you're, back in the early 2000s, if your startup didn't make it, that's kind of a battle scar. You learn something from the fact that you had a company that you launched, maybe you got funding, maybe you didn't, and you actually had a startup and it failed. No one was running from you because you were failing. And I think I entered into coaching as a life coach. I'm actually certified as a life coach, and I got to life coaching from pursuing a master's in marriage and family therapy and pivoting from that because I wanted clients, not patients, right? And so every time, even though my sweet spot is business coaching, my sweet spot is career coaching, I always bring to it the lens of a life coach and someone who is looking at you holistically. And what I believe we have done is we realize that failure is not something necessarily to run from, it's to learn from. And just because the job, your relationship with the job failed or the company failed, it doesn't mean you failed. That happened. A lot of people are going through that. And quite frankly, the other thing about going back to that social media piece, as you're seeing others, their stories being amplified of who helped them find their job, more people are talking about, to your earlier point, the hidden job market, if you will, right? The networking. And people are realizing, no one can help me if they don't know that I'm not working.
So, yeah, and we and in our business, we all often talk about personal branding, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get your personal brand.
Yeah.
How has that changed? You said, so, you know, social media, we got to put ourselves out there. How is, you know, kind of developing, amplifying your personal brand changed over this, the last 5-6 months?
Yeah, I think a couple of things, and, you know, I have to go back to what I was saying earlier about the tone deaf component of marketing and, you know, and I use companies first and then I will kind of trickle this down to people, because I just saw something recently that I think will address the people. So we saw some really beautiful things and some really tragic things from companies in March of 2020, going into April of 2020, right? We saw companies, and we saw companies that immediately changed their messaging and their advertising. They immediately changed their tone in how they were talking to the community and what they were talking about. They were talking about taking care of their community, taking care of their employees, being compassionate. And then we saw companies that were just acting like it was any old spring and sending out their flyers and their whatever, and getting, and those companies got ripped a new one on Twitter. They got ripped a new one and they lost business. And I think companies that recognize that they had to adjust how they spoke did a better job at winning brand loyalty and brand, they won the hearts of more consumers in that way. And I, you know, so I can give other examples of that, particularly in the insurance industry. This last story, I love this story. I'm not going to name names of brands, but there are, you know, let's say 5 or 6 major car insurance companies in the US. And I think 3 or 4 of them, within, you know, weeks or a month or so of all things going shut down here in the US, said, we're not going to charge you what we normally would charge because you're not going anywhere. And 2 or 3 of the brands were like, yeah, no, we're not changing anything. And they held out for a long time until somewhere in May, June, they finally were like, okay, well, we've got to do something, because they were getting a bad rap. Because if I can go to any company for the services that I'm getting from you, and these 4 companies care about me, or I feel like they care about me as a human being, and you're over here just trying to take your regular, you know, pound of flesh monthly for something I'm not doing, guess where I'm not loyal anymore.
So how does that relate to me as an individual? So these big companies were scrambling. Some did it right, some did it wrong, but I've also seen it on the personal level. Absolutely. And what does it mean? You've got your typical individual. She's sitting there, she's looking for a job. She hasn't worked over the COVID time. What should she be doing right now about her personal brand?
Absolutely. So I think the first thing she needs to do is identify what her brand is, right? And really, when you think about what branding is, it is, what are the elements of who you are as a professional that you want remembered? What do you want to be known for or remembered by? What's your secret sauce? What's your tagline? What is it that you do best? What do you love to do most, right? These are the things that could be great elements of your professional brand. And you're, to a certain extent, I use them interchangeably, personal and professional brand, because that's how I think, right? I do think you're not one person in the workplace and then a completely different person in another area. Certainly COVID-19 and quarantining and all of the things have caused that to crumble, because we've seen kids and pets in the background and spouses. And we're also seeing that we don't actually mind seeing that stuff in the backgrounds of meetings. Right? Because we're humans. We're all having this very human experience together globally. So from a personal brand right now, it is first and foremost clarifying who is it that you want to present to the world? What element of your brand do you want people, what do you want people to remember you and know you for, right? What's that secret sauce? So before you can say anything to anyone else, you've got to somewhat kind of language that or think through that in your own mind. Then when you make that decision, then it starts to look at what are the things that you are using to tell your branding story, right? If I was Nike, I would say, okay, well, they're using advertising. They may have a logo on their packaging. Their website looks a particular way. Their retail outlets look a particular way versus the wholesale stores. Like when I go into a Macy's, or used to go into a Macy's and see, you know, a Nike shop within that store. So even if the experience of buying the product is different, I'm not looking at a completely different thing in one arena versus another. So let's take that to that same woman you're talking about. The reason you want to begin with the end in mind, that she should begin with the end in mind, is because she's going to have to language that messaging across different platforms. It should not be a completely utterly different experience, for example, when somebody looks at her LinkedIn profile versus when they look at her resume. I don't want to see every single word on LinkedIn on her resume, right? Not every single word, but there should be some similarity such that I'm not thinking this is a completely different human being, right?
So just kind of rolling it back a little bit out of the personal branding thing, and you talked about the churn in the market.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as what you were, what does that represent? What opportunity does it represent for someone who is in the job market right now? Or what detriment does it serve to us?
Yeah. I love this question. You know, and there is a quote, and I have used it so many times, and it was by a futurist. I wish I could say that I was the one that made it up, but I didn't. And it is as follows. The illiterate of the 21st century are not those who cannot read or write, but those that cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. And if there is anything that I would say for those that are in career transition today, your ability to tap into retraining if you need to, your ability and your willingness to upskill, if you will, which is this idea of picking up new skills or sharpening skills that you have that you haven't used in the past that are marketable today. That is probably one of the major things, right? And I have done a lot of work with folks in all industries, but quite a bit with folks in the technology space. And that's probably one of the easier areas to see the power of upskilling, if you will, because I have worked with candidates who literally, you know, when we started the work, they hadn't really done a job change in maybe 10, 15 years, had just been getting comfortable in the company that they were in, which is very commonly what happens if you're in one company for 10 or 15 years. And then now they've got to go out into the open job market, which is very different than getting an internal promotion where people already know, like, and trust you. You've got a reputation in the company. Now you've got to prove that to strangers or to people that are loosely connected to someone that you may know. And so in that situation for this woman, she ended up realizing that because she didn't have a certain certification that was literally going to take her about 3 or 4 weeks to achieve, she wasn't getting callbacks. And as soon as she finished that certification, she started getting picked up on interviews more often. Same person, 3 weeks later. And I think at the time, she was in a state here in the US that actually paid or some retraining. Either she was in a state that did, or her company paid for it. Whatever it was a certification that cost less than $1,000. She had access to the funds to do it. And what went from crickets on her resume to, you know, literally people calling her back wanting to talk to her in less than 6 weeks because she did this.
So if you're an older candidate, and a little bit of a challenge, because there is a perception in the marketplace that, you know, COVID's being used by the companies to get rid of the higher priced older candidates and folks and workers. How is reskilling, upskilling working for an older candidate, someone in their 40s, 50s, 60s? I'm being very loose in that age category.
Absolutely. I think it's a great question. And it's such a relevant question. So, you know, actually, one of my favorite talks is over 50 job search tips, right? I love doing that particular session because it is such an important thing. So let me answer the question you've asked, but I'd like to speak about the issue on a broader scale, if we can.
Sure.
But as it relates to an older candidate, the way that they can try to overcome what could be age discrimination, which sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not exactly that. It is, so, well, let me talk about what they can do to overcome it. So the first thing is, by actually pursuing additional training, you are signaling to the hiring manager, to the company, that you're teachable and you're coachable. Right? And that you are willing to, as I said earlier, learn, unlearn, and relearn. The other thing you are signaling is that you're not afraid to change and to shift, because again, if you can't change and you're not willing to learn new things in 2020, you really are going to have a problem. Like, we've all had to constantly do it over and over and over again, right? And so that's the other thing you're communicating. I think for the person that's north of, you said 40, 50, 60. So I'll stay with your range, right? So north of 40, 50, or 60, that person, I think the other piece of it also starts to be about, is there a market for my skills and abilities today, right? I do not care if you are the most talented designer of 8-track labels that the world has ever seen. If nobody cares about that anymore, nobody's buying 8-tracks, you might have a hard time trying to sell somebody on your ability to design the most beautiful 8-track labels that they've ever seen, right? So I think the other part of this, and it's hard, right? Because we're not talking about widgets, right? We're talking about humans with human emotions and an investment in the things that you've been doing over your career. But really in some ways, and this is where I think coaching really helps, to take a step back from your job, your title, your identity, which, you know, again, we in the Western world, we wrap so much of our value up in what we do. And we make it such that my value is what I do. But that's so not the case. You know, we're valuable based on who we are. We're human beings living this human experience. But because we do that, when we have been in the workplace for a while, and that thing that we do is taken away, it can be really painful not to be able to do that anymore. So the person starts to fight for something that is may not necessarily be the story they want to tell going forward. They start holding on to the past as opposed to the, and I'm talking about a 40-year-old can do this, right? I'm not just talking about somebody that's north of, you know, 50 or 60 or beyond, because I've also seen 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds that are ready to change as quick as a dime and get jobs just as fast as everybody else.
So. Does this go back a bit to your analogy that you were talking about? You know, we have this massive change. Yeah. Some companies didn't change. Some companies did. Yeah. Or their approach, their tone deaf approach, as you described it. Yeah. Can we be tone deaf as candidates, as job seekers?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you a couple of ways you can be tone deaf, right? And it's so funny because I'm about to probably this coming week, I'm going to be releasing a video talking about tone deaf marketing. Tone deaf networking. I did one called Tone Deaf Marketing in about April or so. And tone deaf networking is going to be the next one, because you absolutely can, because we've been talking so far about COVID-19. We've been talking about layoffs, but you know, something else happened on the heels of that, certainly in the US, and it spread to every nation on the planet, which was a massive, you know, reckoning of dealing with racial injustice that has been happening for certainly hundreds of years in the US and in other places. And that has shifted a lot of conversations as well. And then again, thinking about the US, we're also still grappling with, you know, this differing opinions about the severity or the seriousness of COVID-19, right? And what's happening. And we're starting to see, you know, these kind of snarky social posts that are saying things like, you know, scamdemic, and things like, wait until the election's over, watch how quickly this disappears. Now, here's the thing, if you're in career transition and you are getting caught up in the comments, or you are liking stuff like that on LinkedIn, where I can see what you are liking, because LinkedIn makes it such that I can see everything that you are liking, commenting, and sharing, because of the way that site is set up, as are other social sites, able to amplify your behavior and your conversations on social. If I am the hiring manager and I'm looking at you, and mind you, I went to my very first virtual funeral about a month ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was, yes, I did. And it was the parents, both parents of my family member's best friend, right? So it wasn't an immediate family member. It was a very close in the outer circle of my family, but certainly within the realm of my family. Both parents, and they were in their early mid-60s, ended up contracting COVID rather quickly. Both went into the hospital and were on ventilators. Mom made it out, dad did not. And let me explain to you, like, I can still remember the exact sound of the wails of that woman's cry.
Wow.
And, you know, I share that at that level of detail because it is so insulting for somebody who personally doesn't know anybody that has been sick or died, or saw somebody that got sick and they had a cough, stayed home, to publicly announce that this is a scamdemic and this is all about a political move, when every nation on the planet has dealt with this and people have died in the US, 170,000 people have died for something that a lot of people feel like should never, like, it wouldn't even need to do this. Like, it didn't need to go this far. And for you as a candidate to be getting involved in comments like that is ridiculously tone deaf, because you do not know if your hiring manager is high-fiving you with what you're saying, or if they are looking at you like, I just buried my niece, you idiot. I will never hire you.
What's funny about this, funny, and I don't mean funny, it's it's just ironic, I think is a better word for me to use here, is that prior to COVID and all that's gone on in throughout the US, we've been talking about as career folks, career coaches, is watch your social media.
That's right.
What you say. This was before. I see it as, I mean, this amplification now.
Oh my gosh.
Or maybe it's a microscope on it now that's happened. And it's so, it's on one side, it's so plumb obvious. On the other side, it's just like, how come you don't get it?
And you know what? I hear that completely. And there come, and I think the other thing that has happened in 2020, when you talk about the change, we have all been in, and again, you know, I think about these things a lot, just from the coachings, the life coaching side of my life in my work that I do, in this idea of this, you know, when you think about it, the people that are in transition, the people that are trying to network, the people that a candidate may be trying to network with could potentially have all of the following things a part of their reality right now. They could have a lot of pain and sorrow about the fact that they've got a high schooler that's going into their senior year and it's going to be virtual. They're not going to have the senior year experience that they should have had or they could have had. Or they could have, and they could have, you know, an 8-year-old that just got into a charter school that they were really excited about getting into. And now that child is not going to have all of those great experiences. They're going to be virtual, right? And they moved into the neighborhood that they live in so that their child could have that experience at that school. That's what's happening right now in the fall, right? We may also be in a situation that the same person that you're trying to network with, or you as a candidate, could be a single mom or a single dad trying to figure out how to work from your part-time job or your survival job from the kitchen table while you've got three kids running around the house. And then on top of that, you may have somebody who had an aunt or a niece or a nephew or whomever that has been sick and they survived. But you know what? They are in and out of the hospital right now because they're in phase two of COVID. Like, these are the realities. Or, I'm just, all of these things could be happening. And that same person very well could be a person of color that has had their heart broken by watching some of the images that came out of the US certainly in the past, this summer in June. Right? So all of these things have happened in literally the same, handful of months in the middle of, again, and I'm speaking very, America focused right now, but I so recognize that this is so much bigger than the US or North America, because so many of these things in their own way are reverberating around the planet, in the middle of an election year. And now people are trying to talk about this, all of those things. There's a lot of angst, and all of that to say that I believe any one or two things over a year, maybe we could kind of, whatever. But then you put all six of those in a 5-month period and we're all at home or trying to stay home for the most part. The pressure cooker that is life and stressors and the crumbling barriers that we have between these different areas, it's showing up and it's got to go somewhere. So people are putting on social.
Tone deaf. You talk about tone deaf. And when we're in a job, we're in transition, we've lost our job and we may have lost it because of COVID, whatever reason we've lost it.
Yeah.
Self-preservation comes to mind. We really think of what's in it for me. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're getting at is that we can't just have that mentality when we're out there. We've got to be thinking bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. What I am seeing for a couple of reasons, right? And I know that people are probably sick of this word resilience, but it's a thing, right? It's not just like a fluff word. This idea of the things that you do to allow yourself, I use the phrase strength for the journey, because particularly career transition in particular is very much a journey. You very much do need strength for it. And the only way that you're going to get to the other end of that is to have something that's going to allow you to move forward. And quite frankly, doing something for someone else in the middle of your own pain, being able to engage in positive conversations and uplifting conversations can give you strength to go that extra few weeks or a month that you may have to go in 2020 for your job search that you might not have had to do in 2019. So yeah, I do believe that that ability to give and to be engaged in positive conversations actually is a strategy, quite frankly. I unashamedly, I exploit all of those things when I'm working with a candidate because it works. It works. It works. You get exactly what you expect in career transition so many times.
So you put yourself in the eyes. You're now on this, you know, out there on the hustings, and you're looking for a new position. You're put, yeah. Nicole, put yourself in that side, in that frame of mind. What would be the top five things you would deploy? What would be your go-to first place you go to, and then kind of the resilience piece that knocks you through the barriers that are bound to come up in a job search?
Great question. So the first couple of things are put a plan in place. That, you know, I'm a big believer, I think in numbers and I think in pictures, right? So, you know, this kind of woo-woo, you know, resilience, feel good about yourself side is one piece of it, but it is absolutely anchored with some hard facts and some KPIs. So I like to actually quantify the search in a couple of ways. And I like to see my candidates. I develop kind of, this is like Nicole Dunbar's success strategy for landing your new job. I can't even tell you if you're doing a good job in your search if you can't give me these metrics. So step one, I want to see what your activity is. A full-time job search is, I like to see no less than 20 to 30 hours a week, every single week. If you are looking for a job full-time, this is now your full-time job search, right? This is your full-time job, is looking for a new job. 20 to 30 hours a week, no more than 35 hours. I also like to see no less than ideally 10 quality job applications submitted on a weekly basis. That's a floor. That's not a ceiling. That's a minimum. Now, depending upon the type of role, you might not see 10. I can couch that later. At a minimum of 10 quality job applications submitted every week. When I say quality, I mean, I want to see at least a 70% match to that job requirements, right? It doesn't have to be 100. It better not be 50, but I need to see at least 70%, meaning don't give yourself a no if you don't dot every I or cross every T, but that will help you get to your application activity. And then I also like to see, with that, at least a 10% response rate, right? Which means 90% of the time, you're not hearing anything. You're hearing crickets. You're hearing the job gets closed, the funding goes, whatever. That is what I like to see. And then if I'm not seeing at least a 10% response rate, then I know that there may be something going on. We need to change your targeting. We need to look at the resume. We need to look at the job search activity that you're doing. Maybe your job isn't going to be found on a job board, but you need to be networking. I rarely find, for example, a sales professional whose job, next job, doesn't come from them working their professional network. They've got a network as their strategy, even perhaps more than using a job board. So
amazing stuff here, Nicole. This is what you do every day. You have something coming up soon here, right? An event. And tell us about it. What's it about? When is it? How can someone get involved?
Yeah. So I'm really excited. So I have had the opportunity to do a lot of work in the corporate space for organizations in a B2B role, right? Serving companies who have the employees of companies who have purchased career transition services or outplacement services. And that's fine for them. But there are so many people that don't get access to that. Their company can't pay for that sort of thing for them. And they can't buy it because it's a B2B product. So I am actually bringing to the marketplace something that will provide career transition services at an affordable and an accessible rate to the average person, right? Because there's a strategy to this. You can land your next job 50 to 70% faster when you have a career transition strategy in place, as opposed to just trying to go it on your own. And so that's something that I'm really excited about. I'm doing the first cohort of candidates that I'll be serving on that the second week of September. And if somebody wanted to learn a little bit more about it, they need to just connect with me on LinkedIn. And I know I'll give you that for the notes, but also my email address is nicole@congruencyinc.com. So that's another way that I can share a lot more about that program with folks.
So maybe just clarify that again. How does someone get a hold of you? How do they track you down? Where are you? You're all over the place. You're on LinkedIn primarily, I think, but where can someone find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn. My handle there is my name is Nicole A. Dunbar, Nicole Dunbar. You'll find me there. You can also find me via Instagram. I do have a presence there on Instagram. Nicole Congruent is my handle there. And then, of course, just reaching out to me directly via email is another way at nicole@congruencyinc.com.
Thanks again to Nicole Dunbar for this great look at what it takes to mount a job search in 2020. It sure has changed in 6 months, hasn't it? Nicole regularly offers powerful career and business coaching events and content. Keep an eye out for those. For more on Nicole and her upcoming events, check out the links to her and her platform such as LinkedIn in the show notes. If you have any questions regarding today's podcast or would like to connect with myself or Nicole, drop me an email at barry@rebootforward.com. That's barry@rebootforward.com. Until next time, let's reboot forward.